This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Tuesday, April 8th, a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for the day. Yesterday I was missing. Because I was doing family business. When you have children, you just got to put everything on pause and say, hey, Aaron, can you host the show? I have guests coming in.
Like I don't have Chick Johnny's.
They don't come. Chick Johnny's don't come. No. Thanks for bringing them up. But they don't count. So I'd like to thank you very much for hosting my guests. We had guests from autism awareness people.
We had guests from Blairwood Academy, mm-hmm. which is a school for I wouldn't say special needs school, right? Mm-hmm. But it's a school.
It's a specialty school.
Yeah.
Because they have regular children there all.
Yeah, students with learning disabilities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're having some kind of function soon.
They're having a gala event called Behind the Mask. Mm-hmm. So Blairwood Academy is hosting Behind the Mask in partnership with the Chargé d'Affaires, the U.S. Embassy. Mm-hmm. Her child also attends Blairwood Academy. And so they're hosting a gala affair to raise funds for the programming and initiatives of Blairwood Academy and to raise awareness around autism, intellectual disabilities, and learning disabilities.
Okay. And I also had a cousin from St. Agnes was here, too, promoting something for St. Agnes.
The Over the Hill Rhythm and Blues Concert. Mm-hmm. That's happening April 26th. Both events, I think, happening April 26th.
In a few weeks.
This one's going to be Over the Hill. On the basketball court across from St. Agnes. It's going to be a wonderful affair. They're going to have Sherelle Cartwright and the Lyford Key Jazz Band. They're going to have the Defense Force Pop Band. It's going to be a jamming session.
Oh, I know Sherelle. She's a good family, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Zach.
She did a cover of Ask Me Why I Run.
Yes. Yeah, that's a distant family, too. So, yeah, I just want to thank you very much for hosting those two big things that happened at St. Agnes. Big shout-out to the rector there, Father Cartwright. He's doing some wonderful things and renovating the entire, an area near St. Agnes. So I just want to give a shout-out to that. Today, I have three topics I want to talk about, but I'm starting with this. Chairman of CARICOM. Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Motley, saying the Caribbean is going through a crisis. Crisis is a big word. Crisis means that there needs to be a response. And when I mean response, it needs to be an uptick response, an urgency in terms of a response. She said she listed off why the Caribbean is in a crisis. She said we're in a global crisis in terms of there's going to be a depression. This recession means a downturn of the economy. Depression is over a period of time. And then I wanted to pause to talk about that briefly because I know you are an idea woman. I don't see the narrative of from politicals talking about a possible depression happening in the Bahamas. I don't see anyone inside the business community, commerce, speaking about what can happen in the short, medium to long term to the Bahamas regarding the depression. And all this is resulting from a trade war in the United States and increase in prices. Because they're not talking about it, I say, let me spark that conversation. Maybe perhaps guilt trip one or two people who are listening. You know, we have a wide audience who listen, who might have forgotten or didn't thought it necessary to start this conversation on what the Bahamas, Bahamians, Family Islanders, people in Nassau, God forbid, people in Grand Bahama, because they're only having a tough time there, right? What they should be doing now in the loom, in the anticipation, in the fear of a downward spiral of our economy.
Don't use the word loom.
Oh, you scared of loom?
I mean, I'm not afraid of them. Apparently, plenty of Bahamians ain't afraid of them either.
Grand Bahama love looms. Yeah. So let's start there, right? I'm saying we should approach this depression, we use that word for this conversation, mm-hmm. For the next 15 minutes, like a hurricane. Bahamians understand hurricane, right? Bahamians understand hurricane. Telling them not to spend, they may say, but I don't have no money now. I spend to live. I have my $250 now. I have my $250 now. And I use all of that to I use all, again, information from the station producer, the station manager right now, saying, Nuri, how come you read this? I say, I work. But I'm using all of that. They use all of their salaries to pay their bills, so they cannot save. So this is my conversation today. What should Bahamians be doing moving forward? One of the things is I said that we need to prepare for the hurricane. I say Bahamians need to start buying canned items. Stock your cupboard with corned beef. Corned beef pricey, but tuna is 99 cents. Just stack up with corned beef and tuna for, to, I mean, whatever you just
do. I see your point. So here's my not even a counter, but here's what I recommend after hearing your point. I'm going to recommend that Bahamians begin to organize themselves in small family, friend, or community groups.
It's only me. Unless you enjoy my community group and be trade. But my family network is small. It's four of we.
It's four of y'all. Yeah. So you just say one. It ain't just you one. It's four of y'all. And I bring in me, and I bring two more with me, right? So that's seven of us right now. Yeah. So that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to buy a canner. We're going to buy a device so that we can can our own products. As a group, we're going to commit time on the weekend or off time to learning some basic survival skills.
What do you mean by basic survival skills? And Carl, nice to you, so bear with us. Go ahead. What do you mean by basic survival skills?
Like what your grandparents had to do to survive. You see, some Bahamians can wake up tomorrow and they can be pre-1992, like they've been through a time warp. Mm-hmm. We need to go back. All of us need to sit collectively and go back to pre-1992. So if it's seven people we have in our network,
that's
we got seven workers now. Mm-hmm. We buy in a canner, maybe two if we could afford it, but maybe we just start with one. Mm-hmm. And every produce season, if it's vegetable season, we are canning what we don't eat fresh during the season. So the seven of us, you're four and my three, mm-hmm. the first thing we're going to do is we're going to buy a canner. And then we're going to buy a pressure cooker. And we're going to start buying, and if not buying, we're going to start recycling mason jars, right? And as, because here's what happens in the local market. There's a season of tomato. We bring lots of tomato to market, but a significant amount of tomato doesn't make it to market, and it goes to waste. That tomato could be bottled. The tomato could be canned. It could be turned into tomato paste, whole tomatoes, crushed tomatoes, stewed tomatoes, tomato puree.
So long and short.
Hold on. Then we're going to buy a dehydrator. Because when we run out of containers that we don't make locally to store the product, we're going to start drying it and turning it into powder, right? Because it can store very long in powder form. So we got seven of us. That means we got seven workers. We're going to go on YouTube and learn how to do these things. If GRAC, your Ministry of Agriculture's processing space, if they are unable to accommodate and give lessons, but that's what the government could start doing right now. On the ZNS public broadcasting page, all of the work that you're already doing, some of which you should have recorded, you're going to broadcast that on the public broadcast station so people could use what they see on TV, complement what they learn on YouTube, and now they got some new skills.
Let me simplify that because I hear you.
Yeah.
But I don't want the conversation overwhelm the listening audience, right? And I call, I come to you next. So you're saying that perhaps we need to go on YouTube and get some information, educational information,
But more than that, we need to begin to shift our expenditure and consumption practices.
I haven't reached it yet.
What I mean is we need to spend money on the tools. Get the canner, get the capper, get the dehydrator.
First, you go on YouTube and find out educational ways on what we can do.
Yeah.
Then you say now we need to start bottling
canning, bottling, and dehydrating. What's not consumed in season needs to be preserved for the off season.
Okay, that's what I wanted to make sure I said. Let's go to the caller, and then we go to the next idea what we should be doing. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. We're talking what we should be doing and talking about during this recession or this proposed or suggested downward spiral of the economy. Caller Grant.
I said a couple of weeks ago, way before this, that we were going to experience a possible recession. Okay. But no one listened to me. Ms. Green, I mentioned that from now on then. I'm not a doctor, lawyer, or politician, or even a preacher, so no one listened to me. Everyone ignored me.
Okay.
And guess what? People are actually not going to take it serious because we don't take hurricanes serious. The minute people are going to take it serious, when it seriously hurts their pockets.
Okay, so my question to you, what should we be doing?
What we should be doing?
Yes.
We should be doing, like you said before, we should prepare for it by stockpiling on items like foods, groceries, and other necessities like canned goods and stuff like that. The problem in this is now, right, that investors are going to see this recession going on and they're going to hold on to their funds. That's where the problem is going to come into play. People are not going to spend their funds into the economy because they don't know how the situation is going to play out. That's what's going to hurt our economy.
Yes, I appreciate that. So we reiterated the point that stock up on canned items. We reiterated the point on learning, improving your learning curve on how to respond.
How to preserve.
Yeah. And then you say preserving items that is in season at
right.
this present time.
And then it's a shift in culture, right? So you buy a head of broccoli, but it turns out, the family of four, you buy a head of broccoli, but it turns out that you typically only eat 3/4 of the broccoli before it spoils and you got to buy a new one, right? So what you're going to begin doing is when you're prepping that fresh food, what you know you're not going to get to, which usually wastes, you're going to preserve it before it wastes.
Yeah, I understand that. What should the government be doing?
Okay, the government should be encouraging food stores and retailers and wholesalers to provide what we can call the fill specials to their customers. But here's the thing about the fill specials in parentheses, right? Phil's provided a package. Like if you are buying cleaning supplies, they already put together all, you don't have to think about it. Because you may not really know, because you're not a professional cleaner or janitress, right? Or a sanitation engineer. But Phil's put together the package. And so first time young people get in their first house, they go to Phil's, then they first purchase, they know exactly what they need for the house. It has everything in it. So you say, look, we have packages for family of four. We have the meat package for a family of four for 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Portion it out, right? Give people a sense of, help people to reorganize the way that they consume and the way that they approach consumption, right? Because people need to start, when they buy their meat for the week, they need to start portioning it out in daily portions or servings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or even meal servings. So this is the amount of meat we're going to eat on Monday. This is the amount of meat we're going to eat on Tuesday. Because it also requires us to commit to that. Mom may cook 2 days worth of meals in one shot. But now we have to commit to not eating tomorrow's food today.
Mm.
Some of us don't like that idea. Your little $5, I got $5, I could replace this one piece of meat. But your $5 can't replace the savings we got on buying in bulk.
So consider buying bulk and as a family and then portioning off food items.
Strategizing, rationing, preparing. So you're cutting up the meat. I got a Ziploc bag. This is what we're cooking for Monday's dinner. This would be cooking for Tuesday's dinner. This would be cooking for Wednesday's dinner, right? And keep those portions tight, but also be conscious about it, right? And you say to your kids, look, we have to continually pare back. We have to continually reduce our consumption until we hit a comfort level. And tell them, I'm not forcing it on you. But as you eaten, I really need you to be conscious and think about, do I really need all of this food? Because some young men, their body's growing. The young man could eat a whole carton of eggs one time and don't feel it. But you really have to talk to your children about whether you're going to consume all your calories in a carton of eggs, or you're going to buy a dilly on the side of the road while you're walking to work. You're going to get the coconut water because you work on the beach anyway. You're going to get a coconut water as opposed to eating all your calories in just a carton of eggs.
So backyard farming works?
Yes, it supplements. Right, backyard, even if you're not fulfilling your entire consumption from your backyard. It supplements. It works, right? Mm-hmm. I grow tree spinach, green leaf. It grows like a tree. It's hot. It's heat tolerant. It produces better in the summer than in the winter, unlike our traditional spinach that produce best in the winter, dies out in the summer. Any day I could go in my yard and pick a handful of green leaves to saute with vegetables, to add to my eggs, to add to my rice, to add to my curry. And the nutrient value, see, this is the part here. The nutrient value decreases the longer you extend from harvest. So walking in my yard and picking 6 leaves of tree spinach, that's like eating half a pound of spinach that took 2 months or a month to get to me.
I see in Monday's Guardian, the central bank governor mentioned that a U.S. trade war will likely slow tourism. Mm-hmm. What should tourism officials be telling their staff members? Or should they inform their staff members? Or they say, man, you're on your own. You can read the newspaper just like everybody else.
Right? No. Okay, so the hotels should be providing access to financial specialists and budget specialists to help people identify where they are, like what is your actual economic status, what you could afford to do, what you cannot afford to do, and show your staff how to have these conversations with their family members, right? Like, look, I just got the promotion. I'm making an extra $5,000 a year. But that don't mean we're going to buy a car or go on vacation. That means that we now have an extra $5,000 a year to put in savings. Because we weren't dying. Before I got the promotion, we weren't dying. So we're going to live like before we got the promotion.
Well, you know, tourism waiters, housekeepers tend to make money weekly. And they tend to make money in their hands, their pockets, daily. Mm-hmm. Right? So they don't see the recession because they live daily in terms of the bulk of money. And they have September as their down period. So they budget and then they're to brace themselves
so
for September.
So if you're working in the tourism industry, then you got to take your mentality to a pre-Atlantis era. If you work in the tourism
that's
right
few
now.
Few of us. That's 30-odd years ago, man. That few people. My point is.
That's why we remind. Hold on. That's why we remind. And that's a part of the problem, Yuri. Mm-hmm. That's why we reminding them. See, pre-Atlantis, there was a tourist season. There was an open season and a closed season. And tourism workers knew, you ain't making no money in this closed season. Mm-hmm. And so all the money you make in the open season has to be budgeted to last you throughout the whole year.
I see also in the business section, right? This is now April again, April 7th, Guardian. It says, Bahamas warned, brace yourself for, I can let you read this one, 2008 to 2009 recession repeat. I don't remember 2008 and 2009, but I vaguely remember it being bad.
Yeah, I didn't have any money in 2007, 2006, 2005. So I was aware of it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Why are you telling me to brace mm-hmm. for it, government? Why?
I believe they're concerned.
They need to brace for it.
Well, they have money.
No, stop.
They don't have money.
No, we have money.
But they can spend
stop.
They can spend our money that we have. But now,
do you let anybody else in this life talk to you about your money that way? Except your wife.
Yeah.
You let anybody talk to you about money that way?
Can we stop the government from spending money?
Yes.
How?
First of all, by voting them out. Second,
that's next 2 years.
No, pause. Stop. It's not the next 2 years.
You can
tell either it. Either the mechanisms exist and they're real or they're not.
What mechanisms?
Well, first of all, we agitate for a vote of no confidence.
Who
see, the problem is that the FNM will... They're in collusion.
Just don't leave them alone and don't mention them. And let's talk about us.
Okay, you want the real answer? Yeah, embarrass them. Embarrass
they
them in
no
the global
shame.
Media. No, they do have shame.
So you said go to international media and
but from them. Home. But from home. Don't go to London and do that. Do it from home. The point is, mm-hmm. embarrass them then. See, they don't have a problem with embarrassing you. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with putting you in an embarrassing situation. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with not disclosing. They don't have a problem with that.
And we don't have a problem with it either.
No, I got a problem with it.
But that's 41 person.
Yeah, but then you're the only other person.
Yeah, but my thing is...
Embarrass them.
My point is, I call it callback. As we address these issues... I want to know what can we do? And now they're warning us to say they're coming. What can we do? Let's read that. Let's go to the caller, and then we can read that article first.
Okay, that's good, because I was going to tell you what we could do.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us?
CA and Aaron.
Yes, sir.
CA, you are right. If you have extra money, time to fill up your pantry. Rice and grits. And now, most companies have their rails full, but they cannot increase the tax on that, on the new stuff. Like, we wouldn't feel it till another 4 or 5 months. Because Mr. Roberts said his rails have 3 months worth of supply of food. So he can't increase his price yet. Only on his new goods with the higher tariffs. But some things could be brought straight from China. We're not going to the States. Once you go to the States, that's where the taxes come in. But like Nike is going up. Vietnam and China makes all of Nike shoes. 46%. Nike's going up. I believe Trump should give everybody 2 years to start making a factory in the States. Rather than what he's doing now with this chaos.
As a politics, we're talking about Bahamas now, what we should be doing here.
What we should do in here too. Although this is the silver lining for us, we get to see what is imported into the United States. To the Customs Department, the government or the press, to ask the U.S. Customs or the Treasury Department, who paying 10% from the Bahamas on sand, salt, rocks? Or we get to take it in the court and sue them for the information. What are we exporting from the Bahamas? It's our opportunity now to find out what and how much they collecting.
I hear you, Carl. Thank you very much. Okay. Aaron, let's read that into the record. Bahamas, I can't see it that far.
Bahamas warned, brace for 2008-2009 recession repeat. I just am trying to make the point that you see the same people on the front of today's Guardian telling us we must celebrate that the outlook has gone to positive, but there's still a junk status, that we must celebrate that. Mm-hmm. They the people.
Yeah, and they're continue.
You can continue to let them run us down this road.
They are.
Y'all like this.
They are leaders.
Y'all like this plantation life.
Yeah, they are leaders. And we can talk about plantation life and juxtapose to this. Let's picture the plantation when slavery's over, right? And their announcement to the enslaved that you have two options. You can leave the plantation and find employment. And there were a number of persons who left the plantation to find employment, or you can stay and work the land and pay rent. This is what we are faced with now. Either would you say you leave the plantation, say I won't deal with it anymore, or you stay and continue to live the plantation life. Those who left the plantation had to deal with the police force on the plantation.
Because the plantation went nowhere.
Yeah, because there was a loitering
yeah,
law,
because
they didn't hire a black people.
Because so the suggestion that leaving the plantation meant you left the plantation is false. What happened was the plantation was extended.
It's the only system we have.
Come on, man.
We'll finish before we read. So when they went north, you find that the majority of persons who were freed stayed in the southern areas and in the Bahamas. They stayed on the southern farms, or southern island farms, because they could survive. Moving northwards meant for many of them certain death, because there is no survivability unplugged from the system. I just want to mention that historic part of it, on what happened to those who left the plantation.
Tell me about the police again.
Well, I'm just saying, police those people.
Okay then. So it's all still the plantation. Yeah. It's important for an example like this that we point out that it appears as if leaving the plantation, it's like a horror film, right? Yeah. It's like Jordan Peele's Get Out. Mm-hmm. The black sci-fi writer, right? Yeah. That you keep trying to leave the plantation, but you can't ever get off of it, right? You've been told. In fact, you've been shouted, you're leaving the plantation, and you're going to suffer for your own decision to leave the plantation, except you never actually leave. You can't ever get out of the town. Yes. Every time you drive,
you're in a matrix.
You end up at the same border of the plantation, right?
So,
it's important to point that out.
I hear the need to abandon the plantation, but when we're in the matrix, You just enter a different...
No, you in a matrix. I'm not in a matrix. I appreciate what y'all are looking at. I don't know what it is y'all see, mm-hmm. why it's so attractive to y'all, mm-hmm. but the people who put you in this problem can't take you out of it. I think Einstein was or Newton, one of them by them was saying something about that. The people who caused the problem are certainly the people who cannot fix it. Mm-hmm. Don't rely, don't turn to them to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you that people who tell you to celebrate that they went from something to positive, but the bond, the status is still junk.
Yeah.
Don't let them tell you how to fix the problem.
I understand. Let's read the article.
Bahamas warned, brace for 2008-2009 recession repeat. Bahamians must brace for a potential global depression and repeat of the 2008-2009 economic contraction, which saw thousands lose their jobs due to Donald Trump's tariffs policies, a local economist is warning. Stick a pin right there. Mm-hmm. See, there's only one reason why we would have to brace for it, okay. right? It's because even post our experience in 2008 and our COVID experience, right, we failed to actually respond to our vulnerabilities, our deficiencies, and our dysfunctions. We refused to improve, enhance, and replace dysfunctional and broken systems. We've refused to do anything. By we, I mean the government, the people who are actually in control of the mechanisms. I don't need to brace for it. They need to brace for it. But the most important thing is this. Don't brace for it with my money. Mm-hmm. You doing a bad job. But you're not concerned because you can brace for the global recession with my money, leaving me unable to brace for the global recession. Teresa Turner Jones, a former senior Inter-American Development Bank and Caribbean Development Bank executive, told an Organization for Responsible Governance seminar she is, quote, not being dramatic but realistic. The likely fallout the Bahamian economy and this nation's citizens face as a result of the U.S. president's actions in starting a possible global trade war, suggesting that she was being, quote, milder, close quotes, than other commentators in her reaction to Mr. Trump's move to totally rip up the long-established global economic order. She added that the Bahamas now finds itself in a landscape that is, quote, going to look very different for the rest of this year, close quotes, with previous forecasts now likely shredded, asserting that the Bahamas is, quote, going to be hit very, 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 very hard by the... close quotes, by the U.S. president's imposition of so-called, quote, reciprocal, close quotes, tariffs on virtually all other nations, with Russia being a notable exception. Ms. Turner-Jones said the actual 10% levy imposed on this nation's exports to North America is, quote, the least of the problems, close quotes. While the tariff will make Bahamian exports to the U.S., which totaled $608.176 million in dollars in 2023, more expensive and potentially less competitive, she echoed the government in agreeing that the biggest impact will come from how it disrupts, returning to page six, how it disrupts the global economy, and most importantly, the U.S., given that it is the source market generating up to 90% of this nation's annual tourists. Quote, we also have to brace ourselves for a recession in the U.S., possibly a depression globally, and we could be back to 2008 with what happened globally, close quotes, Ms. Turner-Jones warned. Quote, and I'm not being dramatic, I'm being very realistic, and I'm probably being milder than some of the other commentators, including Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell today. Quote, I think we have to be extremely conscious that things are going to look very different for the rest of this year. So Bahamians have to brace themselves, close quotes. Few Bahamians will look back on and remember that the 2008-2009 recession, which was triggered by the preceding global, quote, credit crunch, close quote, and financial crisis, with any fondness as the economy shrank by 2.3% and 4.2% respectively over those 2 years. Atlantis was forced to terminate 800 workers or 10% of its then total staff. After U.S. travel demand plummeted, another Bahamian resort subsequently followed suit by releasing several hundred workers of their own. And stick a pin there for a second. I just want to reiterate the point that I was trying to make, right, which is... it's very important that the civil society, like Bahamian citizens, organize to engage in advocacy, right? state to the government, those responsible for managing the environment in which the economy operates, that due to your complete and utter refusal to comply with constitutional obligations under the Public Disclosure Commission, we need some clarity. We need a overt plan. We need you to publish a plan, because it appears as if you're prepared to brace yourself for the recession with our money, the people's money. We don't know what the disclosures have been outside of elections disclosures for the last decade and a half. And the foolishness that y'all write on those disclosures is just amazing. It is amazing that, like, you're going to pass a test and that's the foolishness y'all put on the exam paper. Right? You haven't told us what the expenditure for was for the Golden Jubilee. And the people involved, Leslie Miller, she running again, right?
Yeah, the people will vote.
And the people and the people involved.
The conclusion is Behemoth people.
Why you shut off my sentence right there? Tell me if I can finish my sentence.
No, my point is, we, the Bahamian people, already acknowledged that.
No, we didn't acknowledge it.
We haven't acknowledged
it? No, we could not have acknowledged it because one of the key staff in the secretariat looked like they're running for politics. Mm-hmm. Like they're showing us exactly what they're going to do.
We see that. We see that again. That's my point. We see that already.
No, I don't think plenty people see it. Okay. I think that some people know and some people don't. And that's a part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Because they could act like it's public knowledge. But it's not public knowledge. And they know it's not public knowledge. And they know why it's not public knowledge, because if they thought it were a good thing, they would make it public knowledge. Yeah.
Well, I don't think we will get that information. We can remind them, like what we continue to do. But the recession is coming. And the goal here now is to find out ways on what we can do. And I hear the overall overarching issues you have. And I agree with all that. But what is the immediate plan on what should be happening? I come to you right now. They reminded us of what happened in 2008 and 2009. And now I have a flashback of working at Ocean Club where there was mass layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Mass layoffs at Ocean Club at Atlantis. What can we do to brace ourselves for that?
What could the government do?
Do.
Every member of parliament and cabinet minister, parliamentary secretary, and what's the other one? Because there's two. It's like parliamentary secretary, mm-hmm. and then there's like a junior minister of state, right? Mm-hmm. Junior minister. All of them have to commit in writing and then table as immediately
mm-hmm.
a reduction in politician salaries.
Reduction in politician salaries.
All of their salaries need to be reduced
only
by 10%.
24,000 a year, though.
And they're still not performing up to it. I mean, we could do it on a performance basis. I was saying just a goodwill, good nature commitment to the Bahamian people to show you that we are prepared to suffer with you, mm-hmm. especially since we caused the problem. Mm-hmm. But forget that. Let's just do it on a performance basis. And your salary should be reduced based on your performance level.
Okay. Let's take a quick break here. We have a call. I see you. When I come back on the next side, we're coming straight to you so you can give your point. And then we respond to your point as we delve on ideas on what should be happening, what conversation should be happening now, and on this impending global downturn of the economy. They mentioned 2008, 2009, where there were mass layoffs. Only government kept their people, right? They had a freeze on hiring at that point in time, but only the government kept their people. Even some banks had some mass layoffs, right? And I'm saying, what can we do to brace ourselves? What should we be doing? To brace ourselves. What conversation should be held? What should the government be doing in terms of PSAs to brace its people? But we'll see you as soon as we come back. Guardian Radio AM, Aaron Green is joining me.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at 4th Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Vinda has a new line, the Sky series of porcelain. It comes in four colors, Sky Noir, Sky Gris, Sky Glance, and this one, Sky Azure. As the name suggests, you would think it has a strong blue component, but the blue is kind of like just a hint in the overall coloring of the porcelain. The blue feature runs more or less the center of the tile, and that's surrounded by light shades of gray. The Sky Azure, like the others in the series, needs to be seen to be appreciated. Stop by Pinder Tile and have a look at Sky Azure, one of the four in the Sky series.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have that caller who's been waiting for a while. Let me engage that caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear it?
Yes, good morning, devoted you. Never an issue. See, Alan Johnson. You know, about 2 years ago, actually this March, maybe 2 years ago, Ms. Turner Jones and I did a very similar show concerning what was then happening called a global financial shift. And we were looking at calling it whether it's a crisis opportunity for the Bahamas and the Caribbean. And believe it or not, we have not done anything since then to now to actually prepare for it. I don't even know if we even knew that a financial shift is happening. And now what you have is an economic shift that's happening around the world. You ask one of the solutions. One of the solutions would be to immediately reveal those strategies that the government says that they had or that they were aware of, as in the fact you talk about tourism. And the problem with tourism is the fact that we have not exploit tourism except for the one-horse pony method that we have of it. If tourism, I think, is within the top five largest industries in the world, and we have maintained stagnant, growing by this bare 1%, 2%, 3%, even with the tourism industry being the major income generator, it simply says that we have not achieved that. A good example of that is where we have the Minister of Tourism always screaming, oh, we need more rooms. But if you add up the rooms and say we have 15,000 rooms, if we are only using 10,000 of them because we have an average booking of in the 60% range, then isn't it mean that if we have a need for more rooms, then it means that we should be able to fill the 5,000 rooms per year that we have empty with it. Right. So the problem is not the actual tourism product. We've seen the fact that no matter what, places like Florida and other places close destination has created an environment for the diversification further into tourism while simultaneously looking at other industries. You've heard the government talk about and brag about its digitization strategy over and over again. Yeah, we're doing this, we're digitizing, we doing the 5Ds. Well, one of the things you have is that you begin to look to the different digital models. Like I said, we have every single one of those 30 different things we spoke of, you can create very easily 1,000 of those jobs. These are not what is called infrastructurally dependent to achieve, you know, like we talk about the digital economy, the conceptual economy, the aquamarine economy, these knowledge economies and data economies. These are not infrastructurally required. Like, you know, I'm talking about large investments.
And see, Alan, I accept all of that. We have not been prepared as well as we should. We see that. We acknowledge that. We should have done it a long time ago. I can go on with all of the what we should have.
But isn't they say today is the best day to start. You don't look back from yesterday.
So you're saying that we should re-energize ourselves and implement these things that we should have been.
Yeah. Let's use an example, right? We have not grown the hospitality, localized hospitality, overnight hospitality. We have been stuck around 1.8.
So you're saying that in preparation for this recession, this impending recession and depression, we need to build more hotel rooms?
Yeah, no, you need to build. Yeah, but see, you don't see hotel rooms is only a small part of a strategy. You need to build a strategy because if you build a strategy, let's use Grand Bahama as an example. I've never seen this. You write about Einstein. I've never seen a group of people so locked into this.
But how will this help us in the meantime? Come September.
No.
No, very important point. Come September. come September, we'll be in the middle of this depression or the recession. Come September, what should we be doing now in preparation for September?
We should, I'm saying Vincent, right? We can begin to develop a strategy for implementing these economic models. These are economic models that require just legislation, policies, and programs. The world is now shifting, regardless of the, see, we are having a conversation from a consumption mindset. Oh my goodness, we're going to cost us more to consume. But how about building what others around the world is consuming? So just pause for a minute, Nuri, and think, is that not what we're saying? Everything we consume is going to go up? Well, is it going up all around the world? Then how about begin to build the things that others want to consume that will bring capital into the country that is needed for us? And so when we even talk about the digital economy and the industries, let's just go back to our stuck on one horse pony, because, you know, we could talk about the financial services by virtue of flipping into fintech, regtech, supertech, health tech, and all these different things, which actually creates inflow of monies coming into the Bahamas. Even our legal fraternity needs to adopt and adapt, right? So let's adopt travel tech, and we go back to our one horse pony and begin to expand. In Grand Bahama, we've been sitting around waiting for a 1,200-room hotel to open for 8 years, or the government or something has to open it for 8 years.
So let me ask you this before you go, C. Allen. Recently, in Grand Bahama, I'm going to let you talk, Grand Bahama, in terms of recession and recently, Grand Bahama fall into that loom state. Almost the entire island joined loom. We have casino operators here in Nassau who joined the loom. And when they investigated, they find that all of them are from Grand Bahama. Everyone who joined that loom are from Grand Bahama. Grand Bahamians apparently fell victim to this loom epidemic, what is happening there. What caused that? Now, I saw people didn't embrace it. And going back to my question on what we should be doing to save ourselves come September, what can Grand Bahamian be doing?
Let's just talk about the loom issue. When a drowning man, you should go and take someone that can't swim, throw him off Prince George Wharf, and start throwing them matchsticks and see if they don't grab for it.
The casino workers didn't have no matchstick. They had their money.
No, that's what I'm saying to you. But see, what you have is it's a drowning mindset that you want to find security. You want to find more. And so when you talk about Grand Bahama, listen to me. I said you could go back and listen to the 2002 election straight to now. It says that the Bahamas will have no economic growth without Grand Bahama playing a central role. You'll go and look for 24 years since these things have been said, and ask yourself, has the Bahamas had economic growth? The problem is that we would not look at Grand Bahama in its true perspective of opportunity. But let me tell you the number one thing. You know, I hear these people talk about Grand Bahama, and you have investors come here and won't leave. I mean, won't invest. You know why? Because you haven't had the Grand Bahama Port Authority and those who should understand it, called the government, explain to the people that no one is going to invest in Grand Bahama with 25 years or less left on an investment and be subject to uncertainties, because in 2054, this so-called stagnant thing we call the Hoxie-Kick Agreement has not been exploited for what it is. And so it says to me that if you don't have the ability to do what you did for 70 years this August, right, then why would you have the ability to grow this in 30 years or even prepare for a transition to the new economies after the Hoxie-Kick Agreement or an extension of it? See, but we have people who will talk points about this thing and never talk the root of it, but talk about the economy of Grand Bahama. If you look even at the fact that we say in Grand Bahama alone, a certified survey in 2009 says that Grand Bahama needs a 15,000-room capacity, a 15,000 throughput to sustain an airport. And why then, if we don't develop a strategy, we talk about the lack of hospitals, we talk about the lack of these things that education. We talk about basic issues, education and medical.
See, Alan, you're going off now.
I'm giving you
these things have nothing about how to survive this.
I'm telling you, because if you have to build, the construction workers, what you do, you think you just wish these things in? You build an economy. You have people to work. Build me, because if you have to build hotel rooms, You have to build these infrastructures. We say we want
this information
medical tourism. We want.
I hear you, C. Allen. Yeah, I hear you, but it ain't helping this conversation now. We have an impending downward turn of our economy, and what you're saying is more macroeconomics, more conceptual based, and it does not deal with anything that we're facing now. What can Bahamians do to brace themselves to survive for the next 6, 7, 8 months?
Well, I think a big part of the critique is this, Nuri. There's nothing that the Bahamians could do in and of themselves, by themselves, absent of government intervention, absent of a larger national shift. So the idea of putting this on the heads of Bahamians singularly and suggesting that your survival is dependent on you alone, and don't think that anybody else have any obligation to do anything to help you survive. I think that's a part, for me, I'm very uncomfortable with any framing that leaves us with that point, because I think that's their intent. That's how they intend to frame the entire discussion. Why are you looking to government? In fact, then couple it, somebody could raise the article in today's paper talking about, look, Moody's improve our standards to positive without acknowledging, but we still at junk status and nobody's actually said anything about what we are going to do to move us away from junk status. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is to acknowledge that this is not a you could fix this on your own problem. There's nothing that the average Bahamian could do on their own without government intervention, without shifting in policy, without a change in the regulation framework for retailers and wholesalers. There's nothing that the singular Bahamian could do, not even in a family. And for those who are saying, well, no, my family, we could handle it. You're a part of the political class, and you living with a benefit or an advantage you refuse to acknowledge. In fact, you probably can't even identify accurately how you are advantaged. You can't even do that, but you have an advantage. You're either a part of the merchant class, a part of the political class, or you blessed enough to sit above both of them and control them like puppets.
We have another telephone caller here. Producer, pass the caller there through, please. As we talk about the downward economy and what can we do to survive it, what should government be doing? What should Bahamian businesses and commerce be doing in order to assist Bahamians so we survive this downward economy? Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Caller, you're on live.
Hello.
You look kind of muffled, but go ahead.
It sounds like you have water in your line, ma'am. I see you calling on 323-6232. Try 325-4316.
325-4316?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and hopefully be able to hear her, right? I think our government need to do a number of PSAs, right? And PSAs in reference to educating us that it's a possible downward spiral of the economy coming, and then reminding us, what can it be compared to? So that'll be in our consciousness, in our back of our minds, that we are able to make decisions based on that knowledge.
If I were a government, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it like that, because to do it like that is you emblazing that you failed. Mm-hmm. Like, you remember in 2008 and 2009, we had the problem? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we didn't fix it.
Mm-hmm. We didn't fix it.
We didn't fix it. We could have, but we didn't.
But we didn't.
So the same feelings that you had back then, just prepare to have those feelings again. I wouldn't say it like that.
And you can sugarcoat it any different way. But the conclusion is, we didn't.
No, and further to the point, the time for PSAs and saying, hey, remember 2008, 2009? It could be like that again. That's done away with. Mm. To the grander point of exposing your failure, that's done away with. Mm. Don't start this about remember how things was bad back then. It could be bad again. Mm. Start with PSAs, sharing direct, usable information with steps on what you could be doing right now. Stop buying flour as one individual person. Mm-hmm. Find enough people in your family to buy a bale of flour at a time so you could take advantage of as much savings as you can. That's what we need the government to be saying. Mm-hmm. Not remember your feelings.
Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM with T.A. Nuri. Go ahead. Can you hear us?
Good morning.
Caller, look like you're going. I'm sorry about that. So yeah, so PSAs in terms of savings in general.
On strategies.
And strategies.
Actual strategies to shift your consumption and your purchasing culture, processes and strategies, right? Mm-hmm. The first is you show people the value of buying in bulk and buying as a group, mm-hmm. right? Then you give the cooperative agency, the unit, cooperative unit in the government, you give them a whole channel so that they can show us the strategies available to save money through forming corporations, co-ops, for purchasing and importing goods, right? Then you sit down and you get the retired teachers to come and run the classes. This is how you, when you buy your food, this is what you do. You show the whole thing. You bring your food home. You put it all out on the table. You think you have your meals planned for the week. You portion it out, right? If you got adult kids that cook on their own, then you sit, you tell them, what's your meal plan? We buy in together. Show people how to do that.
Hmm. Let's go to the next call. Go ahead, call the Guardian Radio AM. Go ahead. You're on live. Listen to us.
You turn off the radio.
Okay, sorry, you can hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Aaron, you're on to something. You know, government has to be involved with it. We can't do it ourselves. I mean, we have opportunities, I think, in exporting. Once the government could negotiate with countries like the United States, salt and sand, and then we could also look at the Freeport Container Port, which may play a vital part in this situation with shipping. And maybe the Bahamas can benefit from this thing. You see what I'm saying? It's only a matter of the mines, man. What do you think?
Well, salt is owned, is privately owned.
No, that's okay. We have, trust me, it's other ways.
Hold on, but salt is not privately owned.
Who owns the salt company?
That's right.
No, the salt company may be privately owned. Salt is not privately owned.
No, but we talk about the salt company.
No, we're not talking about just the salt company.
So what you said?
What he's saying is that,
go ahead.
Right? If we find that the majority Bahamians realize no significant or actual benefit from the purchasing and trading of salt produced by the earth in the Bahamas to external markets, then the government has the power to regulate a salt industry in a way that provides...
It regulated.
No, it's not regulated. The same way that we... You see how the government created a cannabis industry to create...
cannabis industry we have?
The creation of the compendium of cannabis legislation is specifically about creating a cannabis industry and not about liberalizing the operation, use, access to cannabis at all. Because before the passing of the compendium of legislation, any individual could have applied to the government for various licenses, one to cultivate, one to cultivate and export, one to cultivate
medical marijuana.
Research. They've created an industry, and the legislation is not restricted or exclusive to medicinal marijuana. You can also get a license to cultivate, to do research, and to export. There's no restriction that the cannabis that you grow is being grown for medicinal purposes, right? And so they created an industry.
Where is this happening?
It's happening right here, Mr. Nuri.
Who you know growing rope?
Listen, there was a gentleman who was operating in marijuana for decades with a license to cultivate cannabis, hemp, for the purpose of producing rope. Not sisal, but hemp rope. There's been going on.
So Dr. Marcus, industry then.
Right, Dr. Marcus Cooper indicated at the forum that he has had a license to research on medicinal cannabis, on cannabis products for medicinal use for over a year. These things existed before the passing of the kind of legislation was created to create an industry. Who that industry is for, we don't know yet. But I say it's a similar conversation with salt.
I don't see it. That makes that no sense at all to me. None. This has been Guardian Radio AM. I like big ideas, you know. I like big ideas. But then there are people who talk big ideas. And you see that it doesn't come to fruition, man.
Boy, Mr. Nuri, I can't believe you just said that. We'll be out of time. Look at God.
Look at God.
Look at how we out of time.
This has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.